Let us pray to the Lord together. Father, we do thank you for this evening, the opportunity to be here in your presence. We do pray that you now speak to us through your word. May we learn more about ourselves, more about you, more about your purposes for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Richard. That was a long Bible reading, but I thought it would be helpful for us to see the bigger picture of what's going on in this part of Mark. The most obvious thing that these verses tell us is that Jesus has the power to heal. And let's just get that straight as we begin, because we see it right the way through this long Bible reading, starting with the mother-in-law of Peter, Simon Peter, to the whole town who gather at the door, to the man with leprosy, to the paralysed man, and then a different type of healing, to the tax collector Levi. Jesus has the power to heal. The Bible passage leaves us in no doubt about that. And so that should give us confidence to come in expectation, knowing that Jesus is the great physician. Jesus has the power to heal, and we need to trust in that. Jesus healed way back in the first century during those 3 years of ministry, and Jesus continues to heal through his Spirit in all ages. The healing ministry of Jesus didn't suddenly stop when Jesus ascended into heaven. No, he sent his Holy Spirit out. And if we read the book of Acts, what do we see? The healing ministry of Jesus continues. And so it continues today. We can trust in his ability to heal. However, and this is a difficult however, sometimes Jesus does heal. But sometimes, so it appears, he does not. And I think we need to ask, well, why is that? Not that we can always come to a satisfactory answer. I think maybe the first thing to point out is that even in Jesus' own ministry, when he was on earth, he sometimes did not heal. In our Bible reading, we heard how the whole town had gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. Jesus healed many, but the text does not say he healed them all. Does that mean that there were some there who perhaps Jesus did not heal that evening? It's a possibility, isn't it? And we know that when Jesus went to his own town of Nazareth, well, he did not heal many there. The reason given there was the lack of faith and the way they treated him. So faith is important. Jesus has the power to heal, and we have to be open in faith to his healing. But we also have to be open to his directing. So yes, we have to come in faith and expectation. There's no reason to doubt the ability of Jesus to heal. But we have to be open, well, to the fact that he might have a different agenda. That in some mysterious way he knows what is best for us. And it might not be what we're actually hoping for at the moment. We have to be open to that, and we just have to continue trusting in the faithfulness of Jesus and in his good purposes for us. Jesus may well wish to take us in a different direction to the one which we had hoped. Sometimes we might come to Jesus saying, "Oh Lord, please heal me of this sickness or of this issue in my life." And in response, Jesus might say, "Yes, I will do that." Or he might say, "I'm not going to do that yet, if at all." But I think Jesus would also be saying, "One thing I will do for you. If you're open, I will take you on a much deeper journey of healing. It may well turn out to be a more difficult journey, but one that I know is for your ultimate good." And this brings us to the next thing I want to say, which is that Jesus actually has a deeper priority for a deeper healing in our lives. Did you notice how the morning after Jesus had spent that evening healing all those people who came to him in the town, he went off to pray? We see that in verses 35 to 39. And having prayed, what does Jesus do? He says, look, I'm going to move on to other towns. I've come to preach. That is my priority. I've come to preach. I've come to preach a message. A message of a deeper healing. That is for the whole world. A healing that will come by my dying for the sins of the world. He doesn't let us in on that just at the moment, but as we read Mark's Gospel, that is what he is saying. A deeper healing that comes by his dying for the sins of the whole world. And so Jesus is saying, look, if I get bogged down by becoming a doctor of physical ailments, as wonderful as that is, well, that means that this deeper healing for the whole world cannot take place. And indeed, Jesus says, it's for your own good as individuals that I don't restrict myself to healing the more obvious ailments. Because we all have this deeper need. So Jesus says, my priority is to preach. But what does he go on to do next? He goes on to heal more people. I find that both fascinating and very reassuring, because healing is still on the agenda of Jesus. It's still important to him. He doesn't stop being concerned about our physical welfare, even though he's got a greater priority. However, at the same time, Jesus uses these next healings to teach us more about this deeper need that we all have. Firstly, the man with leprosy. Verse 41, Jesus is filled with compassion. He reaches out his hand and touches the man. Be clean, he says. Now, sometimes in our Bibles, we look at that passage and we don't read the word compassion. We read the word anger. And I think that's quite interesting. Because, yes, the sense is that Jesus is compassionate. He wants to heal the man, but he's also angry. He is angry at the way that this man has come to be in this condition. He is angry that the world is broken. It needs fixing. And that is what Jesus has come to do at the deepest level. I don't know what you visualize when you think of leprosy. It is a horrible skin disease. How good it would be to get that skin disease cured. But there's a deeper problem for the man here. And the problem for the man, even worse than his leprosy, is that he is unclean. Yes, the leprosy's made him unclean, but the point is he's unclean. And an unclean person in ancient Israel meant exclusion. Exclusion from the people of God. Exclusion from the blessings of God. Exclusion from the kingdom of God. And that's far worse than leprosy, bad as it is. It's to have no hope of eternity with God, to have no place in his kingdom. And that's why, having healed the man, Jesus sends the man to the priests. He wants the man to be made ceremonially clean. It's as if Jesus is saying to the man, look, I've healed you physically. Now I want everybody to know, not only are you healed physically, but you're going to be made clean. Not just of your leprosy, I want you to be reinstated to the people of God. And the priests can do that for you. And once you're reinstated as one of the people of God, you will be back in relationship with me. Back in the relationship with the living God. I want you to be in my kingdom, Jesus is saying. That is the main reason I have come. And then we see the same thing with a paralyzed man at the beginning of chapter 2. Now, how frustrating it must have been for the man and his friends. They've gone to all that effort in bringing the man to Jesus. They couldn't get close to Jesus. They had to make a hole in the roof. They lower him to the feet of Jesus. And what does Jesus say? Well, he doesn't say, I heal you. Not to begin with. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. I mean, let's be frank, the man must have done his nut. Can't you see the real problem? I'm paralyzed. Jesus is saying to him, my friend, you have got even worse problems than that. Now, if I sort out your paralysis, you would think, great, all my problems have gone. But I guarantee it, give it a few months, a few years, you will have more problems. If we're given our dreams by Jesus, we'll find that it doesn't sort out the real issues. So Jesus is saying to the man, yes, your paralysis is massive, but unless your sins are forgiven first, you're not going to have a place in my kingdom. Only forgiven people can be in relationship with me and have healing at the deepest level. If I only heal your paralysis, you will die one day and then you will be excluded from my kingdom forever. I don't want that to happen. If you let me heal your deepest need by allowing me to forgive your sins, well then I can call you my son. Which is what Jesus does in verse 5. Son, your sins are forgiven. He calls the man his son. The paralyzed man, having had his sins forgiven, becomes a son, a child of the living God. He gains that restored relationship with God. He gains a place in God's eternal kingdom. The deepest longings of our hearts can only be met by being in relationship with God as one of his children. So Jesus says to the paralyzed man, let's sort our priorities out. First of all, your greater problem. I will sort that out. Then, for this man, Jesus does go on to heal him physically as well. He is full of compassion. Let's come to the story of Levi briefly. Jesus says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. There again is the deeper illness that Jesus has come to sort out. But that healing process of being made righteous can be a long journey. This evening we've gathered to seek God's healing touch in our lives. And as I have said, we should come in faith and expectation. Jesus is full of compassion. He's fully able to heal us. But it might just be that the healing touch Jesus has for us may be different to the one we're seeking. Jesus knows our deepest needs. Jesus wants to mould us into his image through our holistic healing, so that we're fit for eternity in his kingdom of forgiveness. A purely physical healing might misdirect us, lead us down the wrong path. Long term, that would be no good. But let's still come in expectation, because God still loves to heal us, all of us. Jesus can do anything. But let's just trust him, in case we find that he is leading us on a longer road, maybe one with obstacles, maybe a painful one. But still trust him, as he takes us on this deep healing of our souls. He is the great physician, who has come to call people out of their darkness, out of their brokenness, into his kingdom. And that is the greatest act of healing. In John's Gospel, we hear these words. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Holy Spirit. Are you thirsty for real satisfaction at the deepest level? Because that is one thing Jesus really wants to grant you. So let's come in faith this evening, asking the God who loves us dearly to bless us. Let's pray for sicknesses to be cured. But also at the same time, let's bring our whole lives and our souls to him for holistic healing in whatever form that might take. Amen.